Will you turn to me with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27? I'm just going to make a few comments. There were several statements made during Christ's crucifixion. Seven statements to be exact. I will only comment on four. One of the statements was made to those who had crucified him in Luke 23, verse 34, that says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Another statement was made to a thief on a cross hanging near him, where he said to the thief in Luke 23, 43, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Another statement was made, an expression to his mother, where he said in John 19, verse 26, "Woman, behold thy son." And to John, the disciple who was standing near her, "Behold thy mother." And as one theologian called in his next statement, the most anguishing statement of all of the gospel records. And that's in verse 46 of Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" If you go back one verse, it says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour." I read from an author where he painted the picture that there was darkness and there was silence, as though all of nature had bowed in sympathy to the Creator that was going to the cross. And in that silence, God had shouted out. And it's interesting that it's written here in the language that he's spoken. I can remember when Pastor had asked Brother Mbala once to pray. And he didn't pray in English. He prayed in his native tongue. And although we didn't understand what he was saying, it was captured, or we could feel what he was feeling because of what he was praying. And so I get that here when Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There is a separation that's going on here. I only commented on four of the statements. Of the seven statements, he had addressed the Lord three times. Not a little, three times. Two, he addressed Father, and here he addressed my God, as though there was a separation, there was an abandonment. It would be as though James' son Daniel would say, "Mr. Widgeon," as opposed to saying "Dad." There was that separation there. And he asked the question, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And the Bible gives us a reason. It is, let me say this first. Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom, and it almost personifies it as a person. And it says in Proverbs 8, the portion of it that says, "I was daily his delight." Up to this point, there was never a time when he was not the apple of his father's eye. But in this moment, in this quietness, in this darkness, there was a separation. And the Bible gives up a couple reasons. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he," God the Father, "made him," God the Son, "to be sin for us who knew no sin." Why? "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And why could not God the Father fellowship with God the Son? Psalms 22, verse 3 says, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." What is holy? Separated from sin. Absolute purity. There are many promises in the Bible. He promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But God the Son was forsaken here, that we may not be forsaken now. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Start at verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.' These things therefore the soldiers did." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then said he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, And they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christ went to the cross for us, Lord. And we see in this passage that Pilate could find nothing wrong with him. He was completely perfect and without sin. And Lord, we thank you that the work that Christ did on the cross was complete and it was final, Lord, so that we don't have to try to work ourselves to thee, Lord. And we thank you that unlike Christ, we are sinners, Lord, and we deserve eternal punishment. But Lord, you have saved us from that based upon the work and the person of Christ. And we don't know why you did it, Lord, but we thank you for it. And Lord, we also thank you for the other portions of the gospel, that he was buried and that he was raised from the dead, Lord. And we thank you for saving us from our sins through this perfect work of Christ. We pray this now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
I got this down to my sons. Whenever I think of what Jesus did on the cross, I wonder if we realize just how much he suffered. And I wonder how much does his suffering equal his love, God's love for us. He demonstrated it on the cross, right? So whenever I think of that, I think of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, which tells and gives sort of an outline of what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." It states here that he was wounded and that he was bruised. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, when I go to Psalm chapter 22, verse 17. I'll get there in a minute. Well, first, I'd like to go to verse 14. In Isaiah, it said he was bruised and he was wounded and he had many stripes. But it doesn't tell what they did to his body. It says, states here, "I'm poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax and is melted in the midst of my bowels." And then in verse 17, understand in verse 14, of course, have you ever had a bone go out of a joint? I have. And what it does, it destroys the area around the joint and pulls and stretches the muscle. And you might be a week getting over that, or 2 weeks, and it hurts. Every bone in Jesus' body was out of joint. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine have one joint out and what it feels like? Jesus had every bone out of joint. I don't know how many bones are in the hand. Mark knows. But can you imagine just one finger going out of joint and what it hurts? He had a multitude. We can't even measure it. Every bone in his body times whatever the pain is. Demonstrates God's love for us. Not only that, but if you go down to verse 17, it states here, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. Now, I take God's word literally. I believe what it says, not knowing Hebrew or Greek. It tells me that his bones stared at him. That means the flesh was pulled off from his bones. Not only were they out of joint, but the flesh was torn from them. That tells me that God loved us. And Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father. Tells us about obedience, being obedient to God. And it tells me how much he suffered. And when I think of ripping those stripes, it says by his stripes we are healed. Every time they put that cat on that nine tails and ripped it down, it took flesh from his bones. Now there's another, it says he was bruised for our iniquities. He was the chastisement gives us peace. What he did on that cross, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, now I don't know if that's what it means, but there's a certain amount of peace to you that's given to you freely when you accept what happened on the cross and you tell God that you believe that's what happened. And you believe and you tell him that he took every sin that you ever committed to the cross, and we're to rest in that. We're to rest in his hand and praise him for that. Okay? So that's what I think of when I think of the cross. What do you
do? Any other brothers would like to participate, please? We have that opportunity now. Sing hymn number 164, please. Hymn number 164.
Hymn number 164.
I know.
to add a little bit to the ministry of these brethren, for which I'm grateful, I'd like to pray first and comment a little bit on this matter of the washing of our blessed Lord's blood in our behalf. Shall we pray? Loving Father, thank thee for the word which Duane brought to us, and Mark, and also our brother Jordan. We praise thee, Lord, for allowing us to sit and listen to what God has spoken to these brethren's hearts. And we pray now, Lord, as we take opportunity to add another word, that it may be helpful and not a burden, but a joy to our hearts to see what God has done for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with much, much thanksgiving in his wonderful name. Amen. There are 8 different words for wash in the New Testament. To say them to you perhaps won't mean much, because that'd be like our brother said, speaking another language. But let me say them anyway. One you'll notice right away is baptizo, to baptize. It's used to wash. There's a verb by the name of brecho that is also used. It really has to say the word for rain, but it has to do with the wet. There's another word which is ratizo. It is used in one of the texts that I wanted to point out this morning or tonight, but it's from a different text than what I use. It's an alternate text. Then there's another one which is very common, nipto. And then there's a prefixed word with that, aponipto. And then there is a word by the name of luo, and apoluo. And then finally there's one which is very interesting, pluno. You don't probably never remember those, but if you want a list of them, I'd be glad to provide that for you. I'd like to select some verbs that are very important in regard to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like you to turn in the passages to which I'll make reference. Will you turn to Psalm 51, verse 3, please? Psalm 51, verse 3. Psalm 51 and verse number 3. I'm quoting now here from the Septuagint, the Greek translation for the Septuagint. It uses the word pluno. Psalm 51, verse 3. Where the scriptures say, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." The word for wash is in the second verse. In the Hebrew, it's verse 3. But verse 2 says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." And the Septuagint uses the word pluno. It almost seems to be something we should object to when he says, "Wash me." But I think the reason is he used hyssop with which to wash him. "Cleanse me from my iniquity, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sins." And the text indicates, verse number 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." So apparently he's using something which is inanimate, hyssop, to wash himself. And this fits in beautifully with the Levitical arrangements. Let me give you a verse in Leviticus chapter 14 and verse number 19. Leviticus 14 and verse number 19. So that this word pluno is used of something inanimate. And I believe it was with the use of hyssop in Leviticus 14 and verse number 19. Leviticus 14 and verse number 19. "And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And afterward he shall kill the burnt offering." You also, one other verse, Numbers chapter 19. Numbers chapter 19. In this case, of course, it was the priest who was to deal with the... In chapter 14, in the case of leprosy. Now in Numbers chapter 19... And two verses here, please. Verses 6 and 9. Numbers chapter 19 and verses 6 and 9. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. This is the account of the red heifer situation. And in verse number 7. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be clean, even unclean, even until the even. So I take it that this word pluno has to do with something which is inanimate. In the case here, with hyssop being used for cleansing. Now, two other verbs which are very, very important in the New Testament. One is nipto. Parts of the body are washed with nipto. Not the whole body, just parts of the body. Let me list these for you. Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 3. Hands are washed. Mark chapter 7 and verse number 3. Mark 7, verse number 3. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. So that nipto is used about washing a part of the body, nothing inanimate like pluno, but something that is a part of one's body. The feet were also involved in this word nipto in John chapter 13, John's Gospel chapter 13. And verse number 5. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. So nipto is used of hands. It's used of feet. It's used of the face. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. Matthew 6 and verse number 17. Matthew 6, verse 17. In connection with the matter of fasting. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. So the hands, the feet, and the face with nipto. May I give you one more, which is very, very interesting. It's John's Gospel, chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9. In connection with the healing of the blind man. John chapter 9 and verse number 6 reads, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man. So he had the hands, the feet, the face, and now the eyes. And he said in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The word washed has to do with nipto. Very interesting. Parts of the body. This is very important, my friend, in connection with the doctrine of justification and sanctification. The other verb that is used, pluno, nipto, now luo. Luo has to do with the whole body. Let me suggest one verse for you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, you have a similar statement. Revelation 1, verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The word for wash is Luo, the whole body. This is very important. I've given you some verbs which were employed. I selected three. Now let me tell you something that's very helpful. You want to carry this away with you with great joy, my friend. I don't know how to handle some people, especially these kind of people. Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6? If you know how and you got all the answers, please come and see me. I need help. I believe my Bible. My brother said that. But I tell you, this is difficult. Verse number 9. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators. You know what a fornicator is? I take it as a premarital sex guy. Nor idolaters, somebody who's replacing God with something else. Nor an adulterer, you know what that is? A postmarital sexual episode. Nor effeminate, the word effeminate means somebody who's weak, soft, nimble, somebody who just takes it as it is, you know, no fiber in his backbone. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know what that means? Let me say it just bluntly. This is a homosexual or lesbian. Can you imagine? He's talking about all these kind of people. Do you know how to handle these kind of people? Man, when this guy came to put a windscreen, or a windshield, I'm sorry, in our Cadillac the other day, he had all kinds of earrings in his nose, ears, whatever, all over, and all kinds of tattoos and so on. Of course, I gave him a witness the best I could. But I just wonder, you know, there was a day when you never thought about things like this. They say pink has a special significance. I don't know. Our son John was telling me the other day what he had broken his nose. He was told to tell them when he felt he was high. He said, how should I know? I've never been there before. But they assumed that he, as a young man, he may have been high on some drugs. And I was telling my wife as I came along tonight, there's a guy who walks down Huron Street, and he's talking to himself and shouting sometimes, and his head is going all different directions. Now, I don't go near the guy. I just say, hey, let him go by. But the other day, he was coming up when I was coming down from the bank to go to the parking lot. And I said, oh, Lord, let me get this out of this way before this guy comes. But he had a cigarette in his mouth, or in his hand. I suspect maybe that was some kind of drug. I don't know. But, you know, when you see this motley crowd, you say, goodness, how do you handle this? If you know the answer, please tell me. I start to live in a different arena from this crowd. But in verse number 10, if you think this, all the sexual stuff is bad, listen to this. A thief, nor covetous people, and the guy that always wants something more than he can get in an honest way, nor drunkards. Oh my. We had a lady in our church at Grace Bible Church who was absolutely tied to a man who was a drunkard. And there was nothing that we could do to pry her away from that guy. He ultimately died. I had his funeral. He was buried, by the way, out there in Manchester. In that burying ground. I think it's off of Austin or something like that. At any rate, I used to think of that woman. She's a nice lady. But she had a, what do we call this? What? Fixation, yeah. Addiction. That's the word I like to use. He had an addiction to that guy. But you don't go around with drunkards, I don't think. I mean, if you do, please advise me. A reviler, an extortioner. It says none of these people are going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, these are strong words. This is hard to understand. But wait a minute. The reason I bring this up is in the next verse. Such were some of you. Now, these Corinthians had all these kind of people over there. Have you ever been in involved in working in a place like the Detroit City Mission? Yeah. Oh, boy. You got all kinds of people there. Brother Cross, who's got a mission also. I went down to see his place. Oh, my. The area is something else. You don't want to be out there by yourself. I stayed in my car and hooted the horn for him to come out to me. But at any rate, this is a very sad group of people. But then it says in verse number 11, such were some of you. Those Corinthians had all this crowd, these sexual people who were all mixed up, and then the people with bad morals. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. Washed. And the word for washed there is luo. And it's in the perfect tense, the aorist tense. You were washed. That's what the King James Bible with the Scofield notes says. You were washed. Can you think of somebody with all this kind of garbage? And God washed him. He lured him. Not just the part, not the head, not the face, not the hands, not the feet, but the whole body. He lured them. Boy, I think that's marvelous. I've been a pastor a long time, but I really don't know what to do with these kind of people. But the Lord says He can do something for them. You take an adulterer, and most people throw him out as fast, far as they can get him away. But the Lord says, but you get that kind of a man can get washed. He can get clean. Who said so? God did. And this is a tough one for us to handle, but it's there in our Bibles, my brother and sister. To luo us. What a fantastic word. Now, I want to take that and apply it to John chapter 13. Will you go there, please? And just see the difference between nipto and luo in that passage. This is fabulous. I hope you'll appreciate this little word. John chapter 13. You remember in verse 5 that the Lord wanted to wash the disciples' feet. That's nipto. They came to Simon Peter, loudmouth Peter, and he said, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? You're going to nipto my feet? The Lord said, why? What I do to you know, you don't do what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. He used it a double negative. You'll never touch my feet. The Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I don't nipto your feet, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If you're going to do something, don't only give me a sprinkle. You know, give me a good shower. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needs not save to wash his feet. And the word wash there is luo. If you got a body wash, you got a whole bath, you don't need but to have your feet niptoed. You see what that means? But he said, he's clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. By the way, you want to get into a big argument? Not a bad one. I mean a nice one. Study your Bible. You think Judas sat at the table? Would he be welcome here tonight? A covetous man. He was a murderer. He was out to kill the Lord. Did he sit at the table? Study your Bible. And you can discuss it with me later on sometime. Very interesting subject. Do you know a guy who's an adulterer? Would you let him come at his table tonight? Do you know a guy who's done premarital sex like you wouldn't believe and just carried on and checked in with somebody? You want him to sit at the table with you? You say, I can't. Hey, that guy, can he be washed? Can he be clean? Well, the Bible says so. It's very interesting, my brother and sister, that God has different words in the Bible to help us to understand that when He does a perfect work, He does it. how he does it with sinners such as we are. Wasn't it D.L. Moody one time said that there go I but for the grace of God? And then one of his converts, so-called converts, was staggering down the street a couple of days later, and somebody said, there goes one of your converts. And he said, it's not mine. It may be mine, but it's not God's. When God saves a man, God changes him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But he can do it, my brother. That's the most marvelous thing, that God can change people of the sordidest, the most difficult kind of people. God can do it. May I put these three words, Nipto and Pluno and Luo, all in one verse. I can give you this from the Septuagint again in Leviticus 15:11, and I'll show you what they are in the Hebrew words here. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse number 11. But this is a translation from the Septuagint. Leviticus 15, verse 11. The three verbs are used. The first one is nipto. Whomsoever he touches, this has to do with somebody who's been in a, got some kind of a cleansing that needs to be made. Whomsoever he touches that has the issue and has not rinsed his hands in water, that's nipto. He shall wash his clothes. This is something which is not for a body, but an inanimate object. That's obviously pluno. And bathe himself in water. That's luo. And he shall be unclean until the evening. This is fantastic. God works using words to help us to understand that when he does a work, he does a marvelous work. But how does this all fit to you and me tonight? There are some people who say, look, I've had a bath, so I'm 100%. I don't need any more. I don't need anything else. I got news for you. You do. That's why the Lord said in John 13, you're okay, you got the bath, but you need your feet washed. What does that mean? That the feet go in places they don't belong and go in to do things that they shouldn't do. So after you're washed, that is luoed, you need to be niptoed. You have to have your feet washed. And I discovered in a very marvelous way that that's exactly what the Lord does with a priest. We're studying about the priest in the morning. That's what he did. Can I show this to you, please? Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. And two verses here indicate this. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Verse number 12. In connection with the tabernacle being set up and the priests, it says in verse 12, and thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. Clean them up before they're established as priests. But this is interesting. In verse number 31, 30 verse, he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. Why? But they'd been washed, sure, but they needed something else. Before they got into the sanctuary, they had been cleaned up, but now they needed something for their feet and for their hands. You know, my brother and sister, that's one of the blessings of a church. God gives you a chance to wash your hands and feet and your face and to straighten up. You say, but I'm saved. That's good. Praise the Lord. I'm going to argue with you. I trust you are really born again of God's grace. But what about the stuff that goes on day by day? I tell you, I don't mean to offend you, but I have talked to unsaved people in the last couple of weeks in ways that I never dreamed possible. But TB comes up, and they say, oh, you have a TB? I say, no, I don't own one. I haven't had one for 35 years in my house. Well, they say, you haven't missed anything. I was in one home not too long ago, and the father found his son looking at the late night movie. He was horrified. Well, he shouldn't have the box there, then he wouldn't have any temptation with the kid. But all the trash that's on that television, I'm telling you, I don't know all the details, but be very careful, my friend. That's where your feet and your hands and your eyes, you know, need to be washed at this place. You're washed, but luoed, but you need to nipto. See, very important. The computer's another one that's, oh, I will never forget when one fella from the university came to me one day. He said, "Pastor, will you please pray for me?" Well, I would have picked him out of all the kids who were coming to our church at that time as a starling, a guy right out, there's a bright star. And I said, "What's your problem?" He said, "You promised me that you won't advertise it anywhere." I'm not advertising. He's long gone from here. But I'm just saying that he got hooked up there at the North Campus on pornography. It wasn't too long ago, somebody called us, and this woman said, "Will you please pray for my husband?" I said, "What would you pray for him for?" Well, she said, "I found him at the computer looking at stuff he shouldn't have been looking at." Oh, my. And she was horrified. She just wanted to, you know, walk out. The thing is, brother, luo and nipto, that refers to people. Pluno for inanimate objects. It's our job to keep ourselves clean by the grace of God. Please don't say, you know, "I had it all at Calvary and that's all." You better watch your feet, my friend. I don't know about you, but you'll pardon me for saying this, but there are situations that you see every day that move your mind in the wrong direction. You say, "You, Pastor?" No, you and me. It's just that things suggested to you, and you just go crazy. And you just cry out to God, "Lord, put a watch over my eyes. Put a watch over my feet. Show me how I should spend my time and all the rest." Very, very important. I trust you'll get the message. Luo is there. Nipto. Pluno for garments. Inanimate objects. The hyssop. The strange things that need to be done. But I think this is so wonderful that the Lord said, "But you're washed. God, I washed you. I cleaned you up." And that's something that somebody who's been involved in these kind of things needs to rest in the Lord and say, "God, I thank you that you did something for me. Other people throw me out, but you've taken me." Do you know anybody who's been divorced? Do you know anybody who's played fool with his wife, run off and done some stupid things? Is there a chance for that person? Of course there is. That's what God makes it possible. And you know, you almost like to quote the scripture to say, don't try to say that you could never do something bad. Because he that, you know, raises himself up, he's the first one to fall down. You'll be very careful. Remember luo. Remember nipto. Remember pluno. Take it away with you tonight. Study your Bible. Go over those texts. And if you need some cleaning on your feet, your head, your eyes, your hands, you know where to go. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's in our Bibles. It's in our hymn book. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But he can clean you up. He can make you what he wants you to be. So whatever your past may be, or whatever your future may hold, just hang on to these wonderful texts of the Word of God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Blessed be his wonderful name. Let's sing that song once again. I think we can do it from memory. What can wash away my sins? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Loving Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity to be together tonight and to gather around this table. And we're going to take the elements in just a few moments and bring the bread and the cup to our lips to remind us, to zakir, what God has done for us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank Thee for washing us completely, to luo us. Thank Thee, Lord, too, for the nipto, the washing parts of our bodies, parts of our lives that need cleansing. Thank You for the illustration there in Exodus chapter 40. Oh, Father, the priest, even though he's washed, he was luoed, he still had a nipto before he went before the Lord in His service. Lord, give us a heart for Thee, a longing before Thee, to be the kinds of people who will honor Thee and glorify Thee with clean lives, holy lives, separate lives, lives that are careful in relationship to the Son of God. Oh, Lord, hear our prayer, I pray. Thank You for this sweet time now to renew our allegiance to the Lord and say to Him, Lord, I do love You, and I thank You for loving me so much, as our brother pointed out tonight. He loved us so much, He took all of the lashings so that His bones stood out and He could be seen. The flesh had been torn from Him. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for such love. Give us an unending, unquestionable love for Thee with no bars held, and we'll thank Thee for it. Hear us in our prayer, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I've asked tonight Brother James to be helped or assisted by our Brother Jordan at the table. Would you, brethren, please come now?
Messages that I did tonight, I don't think it's necessary.